We're live on the Touchdowns and Tangents podcast. I'm P.D. Camarillo.
I'm Kenneth Ray Jamesberry.
And we are the unofficial AFC West podcast for the Greatness Podcast Network. Shout out to them. Otherwise, you can find us on
iTunes. Like and subscribe, please. Facebook, which is where a lot of our archives are. Spreaker.com. Spreaker. Instagram, Twitter, TDs_tangents. Google Play. And, yeah, anywhere you can pretty much get a good SoundCloud, too. Anywhere you can pretty much get a good Wi-Fi connection, and you just really need to listen to something that, you know, might be ratchet and righteous. That, you know, get you through your day.
And for those of you who've never listened to us, we've been doing this for a little bit now. This is about our 37th episode of this branded podcast. It's and like we've probably got another
200.
50, 60, just in the archives.
Not like a cool 200.
Needless to say, we've established this brand for one reason and one reason only. Not to be a cookie cutter podcast and not to give you the same news and information that you can hear anywhere else. We're here to give you the banter, topical tangents, and insightful football knowledge that you can't get anywhere else.
Topical tangents for the culture, for the counterculture. The counterculture. See, I'm already messed up. Sorry. And, you know, a lot of times the stuff we say is probably a conversation you want to have in a barbershop. And not everybody goes to barbershops.
Or dive bar.
I'm saying.
Or in your Uber. Or wherever else, you know.
If you're not having...
Real spit is shared.
And if you're not having real talk in an Uber, you're the one who deserves a crappy rating, not your driver. Seriously. This is coming from someone who has like a 4.95 rating on Uber, by the way.
So, we hope we make you laugh. We hope you make you cry. We hope you make you think. We hope you make you actually do something. And most of all, just enjoy football in your life.
And just, you know, topical stuff. I mean, not everyone likes sports. My homegirl said she doesn't really listen for the sports. She listens because we usually have some funny stuff and it brings her back. So, hopefully, whatever you get out of this podcast, you get something and you learn some new slander from me or Pete.
And you share it with your friends. So, shout out to that. You can also find it on Left Coast Sports. So, let's jump into it. Kenny, AFC West rookie updates. How do you feel about this class so far, just overall, before we get into the specific teams?
Well, we already said the Chargers are doomed. Just because, you know, four slam towards ACL. But Dan Feeney's still there.
Who has the best case at Rookie of the Year in the AFC West?
In the AFC West, who has the best case for Rookie of the Year? It probably has to be offensive. I don't think anyone in the AFC West is going to win Rookie of the Year. I'd rather go defensive Rookie of the Year. I think that would be a better choice.
Okay.
Because
I'm listening.
You have a guy like
Melifonu.
Yeah, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Okay, gotcha. So I'm the dude who messes up all the names, and I can get that name.
I can say the tight end for USC's name, but like today, I'm just shooting blanks on African names. I'm sorry. But yeah, he could win it potentially depending on the role he plays, because he might play a lot of time as a linebacker slash safety slash slot guy. We don't know. I feel like he'll be the enforcer for the Raiders defense, and he could make. He can make a lot of headway. Even Conley. Conley might end up being a Pro Bowler. Some people compared him to Aqib Talib when he was coming out. And now that he has that whole rape thing behind him, someone's going to get thrown on in the Raiders secondary, and someone's going to make a play outside of Reggie Nelson. And you talked on it. We touched on this after, off air, that Sean Smith's already being demoted. So either he's going to get cut, or they're going to try to hide him or move him somewhere in the defense to where he's still useful. Because you don't have like a 30-year-old corner of your team making that much money, and he's not playing. So, and he's from Oakland, so they'll figure something.
He's actually from Pasadena.
Close enough.
Not really.
He loves Oakland. Everyone in the valley loves Oakland. Who went to Utah? Am I wrong? I forgot to preface it with Utah defensive backs have just they want to go to Oakland or Kansas City, somewhere in the AFC, because they know AFC teams pass the ball way more than NFC teams.
So I think the biggest thing with this rookie class is
Marcus Walker too. He's my dark horse.
And I think this is why the division as a whole is probably the best division in football. Is everything starts up front. So I think a lot with this draft class was kind of about building in the front. You had the Chargers take offensive linemen. You had the Broncos take offensive linemen.
And defensive linemen.
And defensive linemen.
Marcus Walker had 16.5 sacks.
Because why? Because those were the two bottom teams who needed to build up the trenches to compete with the Raiders and the Chiefs.
And Shane Ray's hurt, so there you go. You got a backup defensive lineman now.
But overall, I think what we're... Anyways, for the takeaways from Cam are, Patrick Mahomes is as advertised. He needs a lot of work. He's already listed as a third-string quarterback. I think day one he threw like 3 picks or something like that. Are you worried about Mahomes? You think he's a bust?
He's a gunslinger, because if you look at Texas Tech,
how many years do you think until he's ready to be a starting quarterback?
3 years he'll be a starter. I feel like Alex Smith has 2 more years.
Is he a Pro Bowler, and if so, how many years?
He's not a Pro Bowler in that offense for Andy Reid. He's just not.
But here's the thing about
the NFL. He's better than any quarterback. Here's the thing about the Broncos, NFL, though, is like,
it's hard to say. I think your timeline is correct, giving him 3 years, but there's no telling if his coach is going to be there for 3 years. So there's no telling if he'll actually get those 3 years.
Dorsey got fired, and Reid has had the Chiefs dominant. They won the AFC.
But that could change like that. It's not for long, for a reason.
But what are you going to do? You're going to get rid of Andy Reid and replace him with who? Some hotshot coordinator that might work out? And then you go 6-10, like, we're building something, when he had you in the playoffs. And the only reason why Andy Reid honestly probably didn't get to an AFC title game.
Or you get Andy Reid's right-hand man who's already on the staff and who already has the same exact scheme and system, and he's just younger and cheaper, and you promote him.
Yeah, but think about it. He managed to finesse a way out of not paying Jamarcus.
I don't know. I don't know. It's not like the Chiefs haven't had the other greatest coach who never won a Super Bowl.
It wasn't Dick Vermeil.
Oh, I was actually talking about Schottenheimer, but
Marty Schottenheimer,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I actually meant
Vermeil. You really took that all the way back? I think you really
I did mean Vermeil, but it was actually
the Chiefs probably have had like the greatest run of running backs in NFL history. Went from what? Priest Holmes, Larry Johnson, Jamal Charles. That's pretty, and then the 3 running backs they have now. I'm saying, if you put a quarterback who was capable enough to throw it deep and take chances, the Chiefs will probably have made a Super Bowl by now.
They're already talking about Hunt.
But they have Alex Smith, who is scared to throw a ball 30 yards downfield.
They're already talking about Hunt getting first-team reps. Is there any scenario where you see him being the number one running back, or at least seeing the bulk of the carries?
Well, the way running backs work in Kansas City is they all just use different backs to devalue the other backs. That way they don't have to pay a certain guy a lot of money. Charkandrick West came out of nowhere. I remember he had a tryout video, and that's how he made the Chiefs. Salute to him. Spencer Ware was really good at LSU, and Seattle tried to make him a fullback for some stupid reason. And then he goes to the Chiefs and just craps on the Raiders' defense every time he gets the ball. So that offensive line, they can run block. It doesn't matter who. And the scheme is so much so that they have guys who they may not give you 100 yards a game, but they will give you 80 yards, 4.5 yards carry, and maybe like 20 yards receiving.
So you didn't answer the question.
What I'm saying is it's perfectly set up for a guy like, what's his first name? Hunt?
Laremy Hunt? Or is it?
No, it's Akeem Hunt or something like that.
Kareem Hunt. There you go.
Whatever, yeah. It's perfectly set up for him coming out of Toledo to take that spot over, but he is a rookie.
Which I actually saw him at the NFLPA game, so shout out to me.
Shameless plug.
Shout out to Sports Outlast.
And where was that game held at?
The StubHub Center, a.k.a. the Chargers home.
A.k.a. the Galaxy's home.
A.k.a. the smallest arena in decades for the NFL.
Ever. Probably ever. There are Texas high school stadiums that laugh at the attendance of them. But shout out to everyone who's got
Shout out to the Aztecs if they get more fans in their stadium every week.
They do. They definitely do at that stadium. They have to.
San Diego don't State. Say they do.
San Diego State gets they more than 30,000.
They could.
San Diego State can get 50,000.
They
didn't last year.
They could.
Okay.
They should now.
They
for
should.
Sure.
They were. They beat Boise
they
State
could.
A couple times.
They could, but they don't.
San Diego
they
State.
They should. Maybe they will.
If San Diego State had better marketing, I feel like they could somehow finesse a way into the Pac-12. But
okay.
They're not going to do that. That's a whole other podcast for a whole other time. Because so, it's college football.
I just feel like Hunt is too similar to West and Ware.
And he's not as fast.
I don't feel like he gives them a different element
he
than
really
what
doesn't.
They already have.
He
so,
just gives them a cheaper option.
So I think he's going to be on the roster. I think they'll probably stash him away, you know, keep him away from getting head and knee hits till probably like halfway to the season, and then they'll plug him in there and he'll be fresh and he'll have a 100-yard game like week 12. Out of nowhere, probably against the Raiders,
or the Chargers.
Just out of nowhere, or and they'll probably just keep him as a third back over CJ Spiller, who will probably get cut.
CJ Spiller plays for the Saints, not the.
No, he's on the Chiefs.
He's on the Chiefs now.
Yeah,
I thought
he got cut from the Saints last year.
Oh, I thought he went back.
And then
there.
He was on the Seahawks, and
oh, that boy's not getting any run. He's not CJ Spiller's not getting
which,
any run.
By the way, he got mad when people asked him if he lost a step.
Well, I feel like he never lost a step. It's just that one year in Buffalo.
Well, he had like 900 yards and missed seven games. So it was kind of like, and then he went to the Saints.
But
so
the
he kind of got done dirty. Yeah.
It's like how Reggie Bush got done dirty by the Saints early in his career. And then everybody
well, that's
forgot
like
that.
They were kind of trying to make him the replacement.
And Reggie Bush, they're like, they should have made him receiver early on. They're like, no, you're going to play running back when it's like you don't have a run blocking offensive line like that. That's why Pierre Thomas only got like 700 yards a season. But anyway, I think the bigger
Mark
issue,
Ingram seems to be doing fine. But
no, but they steal his carries. He could have been had like 1,200 yards rushing and like 13.
Now
yards.
You're a Mark Ingram fan? Did
no,
you just defend
just,
Mark Ingram?
I'm just saying he had a right because they would always take him off the goal line and take away his touchdowns.
We need a sound effect for backtracking, for real.
I'm just going to take my shots. I'm just going to shoot my shot. They have Adrian Peterson and Mark Ingram listed as co-starters, which is disrespectful to Mark Ingram. Because he knows. He's like, this is Adrian Peterson, dog. I'd be like, trade me. Trade me to the Raiders, where they have to give me the ball. Trade him somewhere like Cleveland or
you're saying
Green Bay.
Ingram or Peterson?
Ingram.
Yeah.
If I was Ingram, I would want to trade.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they are Sean Payton already hosed you for yards and touchdowns. Rushing touchdowns, which hurt your pocket, and now they bring in Adrian Peterson. Dog, you aren't getting any play time, and they already have three receivers who can probably get 1,000 yards again, even without Brandon Cooks. So if I was him, I'd be like, trade me, dog, trade me, homie, just trade me. I don't need to be here anymore. Trade me to Washington, where they need a running back.
Okay, so let's digress back to the West. The Broncos, as I alluded to before, try to show up the trenches. Garrett Bowles is listed as a starter.
We know it's going to happen.
What's the over-under on sacks he gives up this year?
5.
Wow. So you're a fan of the big man from the Utes.
Do you really think?
He only started like 1 year of college football, and you expect him to just transition?
He's going to give up 5 sacks, which is actually a lot.
5 sacks is not that much. For a rookie?
That's a lot. For a rookie left tackle, and that's Khalil Mack.
I would take that. I would take that from a rookie.
Did Khalil Mack?
I would take 5. Bro, he has Khalil Mack,
Bruce Irvin, and nobody else on the radio.
No. You didn't let me finish.
I know. I'm just messing.
He has Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack,
Jatavis
Von Miller, and Houston, Justin Houston,
Melvin Ingram.
That's 8 games.
You didn't even name all the pass rushers
so,
for the team.
Exactly. So
about
you're
15 guys.
So you're telling me between whatever that those 12 guys,
right tackle,
just in the division going against them,
he's giving up 5 sacks.
He's going against just them. He's giving up 5 sacks.
That's not including
just them. He's
that's
giving
not including
up 5
how
sacks.
Great they are against the run.
Then you're talking about the other 8 games,
and then you got to talk about their quarterback.
So I'm saying he gives up probably 9.
I'm not going to say 9, but he's going to give up a lot of pressures and 5 sacks.
I don't know how.
He actually is athletic. He's fast.
He's,
he ran a
he's
sub
athletic.
4-9.
He's big. But you're talking about going against people that are big athletic and technicians.
But he's a first-round pick for a reason. He's not just some scrub off the street.
But he's not a top 10 pick.
That's cool.
He's all those guys I just named, except for Houston, are top 10 picks.
And what's his face?
For a reason.
D Ford wasn't the top 10 pick.
So I'm going to say he probably gives up 9 sacks. Because he's going to give up at least 5 in the division
alone. They're going to protect him, though. Like, they're going to protect him somehow. But then you have Simeon. The Broncos just have a bad offensive line. So, if anything, I'd be putting my best...
It's a young offensive line.
I'd be putting their... No, their Stevenson is a bust. He just keeps getting money because he's athletic. And he can play right tackle and guard. He gives up a lot of pressures. And Menelik Watson? Okay. Von Miller or Menelik Watson? Let's see how that works.
We have... Actually, Watson is not that bad. He just gets hurt and he's inconsistent.
So... The best ability is availability, and he doesn't have that.
All right, let's move to the other side. Walker, DeMarcus Walker, he's playing inside, outside. What's his best position?
Wherever they need him. But he'll probably be a great rush defensive tackle on third downs if they put together a NASCAR package.
So you're looking at in the Malik Watson role?
Kind of looking at
him. I mean, Malik Jackson, sorry.
I look at him in the Mathias Kiwanuka role. Mathias Kiwanuka never really...
They don't run a 4-3 like that.
Yeah, but they do when they're in a pass-rushing situation. Because Von Miller will drop back into coverage, but mostly he's rushing the passer. And Shane Ray is gone for, 9 weeks. So, you got him, you got Shaquille Barrett, Marcus Walker. Is going to be stealing some play time from somebody at D-tackle. So, I would say he's going to have a chance to shine.
I think he's more of a defensive end, only because you want to utilize that length on the edge.
Yeah, but he's a shorter defensive
end. And I think Wolf is going to be more of a defensive tackle, because he's bigger.
But Wolf is a defensive end and a defensive tackle at Cincinnati.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And they have an amoeba defensive line, where they can just move guys around. But they have athletic interior guys, which is most important. That's why they get so much pressure. And then their secondary can pretty much cover you for 10 seconds.
And finally, the Chargers, as you already alluded to before, they're cursed. Their top two rookies are not playing right now.
Not their defense. Their defense isn't cursed. Their offense
is cursed. That leaves them with Dan Feeney, who's at the backup at both guard positions. Desmond King, who's listed as the starting nickel corner.
/ free safety.
Which one do you think gets more playing time, Feeney or King?
King. Because King's a ball hawk. He's a proven ball hawk. And if he can get away with playing in the slot or playing high safety where Jaleel Adai, and I'm forgetting the other dude's name, at safety.
Boston?
Yeah. They're going to have him either in run support or covering a tight end. So if you just have him over the top lurking, I see no problem with that. And Iowa defensive backs usually have been pretty good. Mekhi Hyde. Iowa defensive backs who usually convert to safety turning out pretty good. So, in this case, the Chargers defense is one of the fastest defenses in the league. Just between Jatavis Brown, Perriman, Jeremy Atauchu, because I'm pretty sure he's not going to be playing defensive end. And then you got Ingram. You got Bosa, in the corners, Verrett, Hayward. It's a stacked defense. So they'll be fine. The defense will be fine, and they're better off switching to a 4-3 anyway. So it's the offense that's kind of cursed.
Okay, so let's move on to the next topical, topic of the week. On the Touchdowns and Tangents show and the Greatness Podcast Network. Kenny, referees, full-time employees now, getting benefits, hopefully.
Salary positions?
Salary positions? People want to go to school to be referees now?
401k?
Degree? Tax NFL write-off? You? Referee you?
Tax write-offs?
But for reals, Kenny, what does this mean? Does it matter? Do you care?
I mean, hopefully it'll help with rule enforcement, because that's one of the impacts that they were talking about in multiple stories I read, is that they want better interpretation of rules during the dark period, and if you have full-time refs who can actually go over certain plays, then maybe we'll figure out what a catch is and, you know, pass interference as well and holding and things like that. Like, they'll be able to hash out more issues. And, you know, it's good to have full-time referees because we remember the replacement refs and we don't want to go back there ever.
I think it's going to have more backlash than people think. Only because being a referee is hard. It's a hard job, flat out, period. You have to catch things that the human eye doesn't catch. You have to make judgment calls. You have to be the bad guy. You have to be the good guy. You get yelled at by players, fans, coaches, everyone.
It's better than being an AAU ref.
So now you're talking about people wearing that full time. Like, that's their job. That's their career. That's on their resume. That's on their Twitter accounts. Like,
they shouldn't have Twitter accounts.
But what I'm saying is, it's just going to make referees more visible, and it's probably going to make them hate their lives more. Because I feel like the part-time flexibility makes it easier to remove yourself from the calls and the decisions that you make. And
public eye.
And public eye. And but now...
And hockey league can't wait, though.
And now owning that...
Some of these referees, man, they enjoy the spotlight. Let's be real. And hockey league can't wait to bring out the gun show.
Oh, gosh.
Let's be honest. Like, I'm just waiting for them to start... The NFL to start a podcast... Where they just interview Mike Pereira and other referees and controversial historical calls. That's a damn good idea. Don't steal that. Kenneth Berry came up with this idea. What time is it? 8:35 p.m.?
You can't copyright an idea.
I said it here first. I want my props. That's all I need in court. I said it here first.
All right, Kenny, I know you want to talk about injuries, so I'll let you go ahead on that.
Cue the Sarah McLaughlin in the arms of an angel. So, a bunch of dudes keep tearing their ACLs.
Raekwon McMillan just tore his ACL tonight.
Yep, he was the starting linebacker. What was the Dolphins' defense? The receiver for the New York Jets... Quincy, not even going to try to say his last name. He had like 872 yards receiving for the Jets last year, and he like ruptured a disc in his back, so he's done for the season pretty much. So, like, Chaz Anderson is their number one wide receiver. Yeah. Do I need to say the name again? Jalen Marshall's one of the receivers, the Ohio State
wide Devin receiver. Smith.
Devin Smith's still hurt. but yeah, they need help at receiver big time. And they probably could have signed Anquan Boldin, but he ended up going to the Bills where he learned their entire playbook in one night. I don't know if that speaks to his genius and Hall of Fame resume. Yes, he's a Hall of Famer. Not Keyshawn Johnson, but it's another time for another story.
If you put Boldin in, you have to put Hines Ward in. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm going to put in Hines Ward, but guess what? Isaac Bruce is better than Hines Ward. We've been over this already. And Torrey Holt was better than... Hines Ward too.
Boldin is not better than Hines Ward.
Boldin was better than Hines Ward too. Look up the statistics. He came in having a 1,000-yard season, over 100-yard catches. Then Larry Fitzgerald came out of nowhere the next season.
Was a number two receiver for like half of his career, man.
Bro, he was a number one receiver. He just had Larry Fitzgerald.
When was he a number one receiver?
His rookie year.
When was he a number one receiver? His rookie year. Okay, I'll give you that.
And like five other seasons.
What's his other?
Bro, he had like.
Give me another season. Give me another season. Give me one.
The seasons before Larry Fitzgerald became a superstar.
Larry Fitzgerald was a superstar his second or third year. And they came in the year the same year. They were first and second round.
Then when he got traded to Baltimore, he was the number one receiver. No. Yeah, he was. He had 1,000 yards receiving with Baltimore.
Debatable.
He had 1,000 yards receiving.
Torrey Smith also had 1,000 yards receiving.
Yeah.
He wasn't in San Francisco because Crabtree was number one.
No, Crabtree left at that point.
No, he wasn't. Crabtree did not leave until he went to the Raiders, actually. So check your facts, which was 2 years ago.
Okay, that was technically 3 years ago. Because he was in
the... technically, insert SpongeBob meme. Yeah, now you know. Now you know what
it was. When you're wrong and you're trying to be petty to save face.
Now you know what year it was. All right. Let's move on. I don't even know what the real quick said. before we close out the show.
He's a Hall of Famer though.
Before we close out the show,
Jay Cutler sucks.
Whose championship windows are closing?
Let's see. I can tell you, championship isn't even. Phillip Rivers, his championship window closed a while ago. Probably when LT retired.
He probably should have demanded a trade to like the Dolphins or.
Not the same.
But it's like, even anywhere else he goes, it's just basically going to be the Chargers. Like, you go to the Dolphins, you go to the Bills, like, where are you going to go that's going to be any better than where you're at? At least where he's at, he has California weather, he has a house with his 8 kids that he knows and loves.
The Cowboys before they drafted Dak Prescott?
Yeah, maybe. Denver? But it's like, I don't really think Denver's that much better than San Diego.
Way better than San Diego for Phillip Rivers.
Debatable.
A couple years ago, Phillip Rivers with that defense.
Debatable.
He wouldn't choke it up.
Debatable.
With that offense, with those receivers.
The Chargers have a talented defense.
Yeah, but their coaching staff and front office keep shooting themselves in the foot.
Well, it seems to be changing, so hopefully we'll see.
Who else? At the end of his career.
I'll give you Carson Palmer.
His thing's been closed. I'd say the Vikings championship window's closing.
I can't deal with you, bro.
Is Sam Bradford a Super Bowl quarterback?
You talk about their defense, about, like, it's the 85 Bears defense.
Their defense will get
them. And their defense is still young. Their defense is still really young across the board. So you can't say that. You can't say.
Sam Bradford.
You can't say the team championship windows is closed.
Two words, Sam Bradford.
When Teddy Bridgewater.
Is Aaron Rodgers still playing?
He hasn't played.
Is Aaron Rodgers still playing?
And Teddy Bridgewater's only like 28.
And he already had.
Not even. He's 27.
He has a destroyed knee.
He's like 27.
He has a destroyed knee and no real good seasons.
He's actually 26. So he's going to be 27 next year.
So he's like a year or two old.
Bradford is like what? 29 maybe?
Going on 30. And actually broke the completion percentage record. Because he throws safe passes, but he has enough arm to actually get it downfield. But the way his receivers are and the way
so basically, Phillip Rivers should go to the Vikings.
Yes. There.
Did we just make a marriage ideas. Right now?
Two great ideas.
We just organically made an idea right now.
I'm just
on the touchdown of the tangent.
Aaron Rodgers is still playing football, so no one in that division is winning a Super Bowl. Let's see. Who else? I don't want to say the Falcons Super Bowl window is closing because they re-signed a bunch of players. They just gave Devonta Freeman a $41 million contract, $22 million guaranteed. But by the way, RIP to the running back market because you can't even get $10 million a year as a running back anymore.
How about the Giants? The
fans ran a sweep.
Is Eli's window closed?
Eli's window is closing if he keeps playing bad because he's really, other than the years they won the Super Bowl, he's led the league in interceptions, I think, like 5 times.
Big Ben?
Big Ben's window's closing. That defense is just not trusted.
Still young. It's still developing.
And their corners are... Their corners are trash. And somehow, on Madden...
I mean, it doesn't help when you're going against, like, the best receiving corps every single day in practice. I can't imagine that helps your confidence.
So, you're telling me Julius Edelman and the Patriots receiving corps is better than the Steelers receiving corps? Because Chris Hogan ate up their defense. He had, like, 180 yards receiving.
What, they had 2 starting rookie corners?
I don't want to hear that.
They had a starting rookie
Gronk
free safety and a starting rookie center.
Did Gronk even play that game?
I think really you should call it the pass rush because everyone knows how you beat the Patriots is with the pass rush. And
that's,
the pass rush was non-existent in that game.
That's their fault. That's front office's fault. They got TJ Watt. But my thing is, Bud Dupree is the biggest issue, sadly, and I got to bring this out, Ryan Shazier has an 81 overall rating on Madden. That's disrespectful. That man deserves an 87 at least, 85 to 87.
He's been hurt.
No, he's been great for their defense. He's been like the best part of their defense.
He's been hurt.
He's played hurt. And he'd be like a 95 overall at outside linebacker, and we both know it. And he's like not even really.
He's a true outside linebacker. He's a 4-3 outside linebacker. He's a Will Becker.
But they're putting him a middle linebacker, and he's actually playing great. He's actually had one of the best tackle conversion percentages in the league. last year he did. He didn't really miss many tackles. But with TJ Watt coming, that should help the pass rush, hopefully. But
it's like just Jarvis Jones.
Jarvis Jones is trash and we all knew it. Once we found out he had spinal stenosis and he ran 4.9, I was done with him.
So why did he go in the first round?
That's why you didn't play at USC. That's why you didn't play at USC.
So why did he go in the first round?
Because he had 14 and a half sacks at Georgia. That's why. And SEC defensive players get a pass.
All right, so let's close out the show. 1 minute rant. You go first.
All right, Jay Cutler sucks. Even though he's a better fit than Kaepernick scheme-wise, because Kaepernick will be a better fit for that offense long-term, but the Dolphins don't really want to go long-term. They're going to go short-term with the devil that they know, which is Jay Cutler, even though he has no spine and isn't a leader. I'm pretty sure he doesn't even, like, call the shots when he's at home. Like, I just don't get it. I mean, don't give me that excuse, oh, well, Vanderbilt education, like, that's what it does to you. Nah, man. There's plenty of dudes who played in the SEC and at Vanderbilt and have a better just... Like, Zach Cunningham is a true leader. Played middle linebacker at Vanderbilt. Was an All-American. Their first ever consensus All-American. And he was a converted safety. And that dude was playing, like, 20 pounds under his age, his range to be a middle linebacker in the SEC, and he's killing people. And he's the leader and was like a second-round pick. I don't want to hear that excuse. So, yeah, the Dolphins are going to stay sucking. Aaron Rodgers' window is open for at least another 5 years because he didn't play for, like, the first 4 years of his career. So, yeah. And the Raiders, nothing this season will matter if they still can't find someone outside of Bruce Irvin and Khalil Mack to rush the passer, and if they can't find two starting linebackers outside of Bruce Irvin to play on this team. Because realistically, they had holes to fix on defense, and they didn't really fix it at linebacker. They just have a bunch of guys who might be good. And also, treat yourself, because fat guy tip or fat person tip, I know I'm way over a minute, but Krispy Kreme's now has chocolate-covered glazed donuts. So enjoy the
sounds
diabetes.
Sounds disgusting.
It does sound disgusting, but enjoy the diabetes. I won't be partaking in it because I'm out here losing weight and trying to, you know, get my life in order. So, yeah, love y'all. Have a great week.
So, for me, I want to talk about what the podcast name was inspired by. The great brawl that happened at Los Angeles football practice between the Chargers and the Rams. Which okay. Which actually, on a tangent though, the Rams uniforms actually look nice. So shout out to them.
Mid ass whipping.
Really though.
Is this jersey made out of Kevlar? I'm sorry.
Really though. I think usually these scuffles for me are like
kerfuffles. That's the new word.
Migos. No, just be quiet.
Sorry.
Anyways, so usually these scuffles are like way overplayed for me, especially in the mainstream media. They just want to show videos and talk about, oh, is this good or bad for team chemistry? And every year we hear the same storyline with a different team. So for me, it's like this one is a bigger deal, number one, because it's opposing teams. Number two, these teams are battling for LA fans. And number three, some legit punches actually got thrown and people actually got tossed. If you haven't seen the video, you have to see it. It's funny, it's hilarious, and it's real. This is like some real stuff that would happen at a real ass practice. If you've ever played the game of football, you know this kind of stuff happens. And it's refreshing to see professionals actually go through it because, and I'm going to steal Kenny's joke here. The Chargers lost to the Browns, but the Rams got swept by the Niners. So, which one
Mortal
would you rather be?
Mortal Kombat! Fatality! I'm sorry.
Other than that, man, I'm just excited. I got a new gig coming out in a week. Moving to that PR life. Actually flying out to Fort Lauderdale for training. So, gonna add another state to my belt.
Be a home in Florida, dog.
Wow.
It's summertime.
This is why this is a 1 minute rant that, you know, you're not supposed to interrupt.
I'm sorry, but we were all thinking.
And last point is, actually had a great time last weekend at Hard Summer Music Festival. My friends actually surprised me. They said they weren't going to come, and they showed up. We raged. I danced for like 30 hours. It was nuts. It was wild. Usual shenanigans. Because at the end of the day, Hard Summer last year is one of the last memories I have with one of my good friends who died. So, man, life is too short not to party, not to rage, not to have fun with your friends. Enjoy the summer. Enjoy the sunshine. Enjoy the music. Enjoy the pretty females running around. It was a great time. It's a great time to be alive for me and for you as well. So we hope you enjoyed the Touchdowns and Tangents podcast on the Greatness Podcast Network. We are the unofficial AFC West partner. We hope we can catch you again next Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific time-ish. Otherwise, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Pete Certified. He's at Ozo Grande. You can find our content on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Speaker,
Google Play,
SoundCloud, Google Play, iHeartRadio, iTunes Podcast Store, and wherever else you can get 4G LTE.
Yeah, and wherever you could steal free Wi-Fi. Remember, you don't always have to turn your mobile data off when you're in a really good Wi-Fi hotspot.
You could just download it at Starbucks and then dip out and go about your merry way and wait at the bus and listen to our podcast.
I'm saying, yeah.
Subscribe it, like it, share it with your homies, whatever you got
to
do.
Go to a library, listen to it, and then go read The 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. It's an amazing book and it changed my life.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.